Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Yesterday we spoke about coping with loneliness. We often sing the hymn written by J. Lincoln Hall, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As a burden's press and the care's distress, and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into the deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tear flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to Him? Does He see?" And then the chorus refrains, "Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." When we're faced with loneliness, it helps to know that Jesus cares. Or when we're dealing with grief, and we move from loneliness to seeking a better understanding of grief today, and to know that Jesus cares in our time of grief. What is grief? Well, grief is defined as a state of mind that develops when one learns of a great loss in his life. It's a time when one is forced to come to grips with the problem of the loss, and when one must make adjustments to the change that has taken place. These adjustments may take days or even years. They may involve several elements: sorrow, loneliness, depression, guilt, anger, withdrawal, confusion, anxiety, and other unacceptable behaviors. Sometimes thoughts of readjustment, as painful as it appears, may not be worth the effort. That's often the feeling. A loss can be minor or it can be major. If it's major, of course, it will be more difficult. A minor loss may only be a temporary inconvenience. It may take only a few hours or a few days to adjust to it. A major loss may involve weeks or months or possibly even years to work through it. A major loss can be that of a lifelong companion, the loss of a son or a daughter, or a loving parent, a brother or sister or close and trusted friend, or even one's pet that has been so dear to them. Other experiences can bring grief. If one loses a fortune or a business or a position or a job, he must consider where he is and where he's going to be going. If one loses his health, again, he must deal with the direction of his life and resolve how he can make the best of it. The news of any great adverse change, socially or economically or physically, brings grief. It's a time when one is forced to consider how the new circumstance will affect him and how he can manage to carry on. When we look in the Bible, we find many examples of people dealing with grief. Let's consider David's reaction over the loss of a son. We take up the story about his son Absalom, when Absalom is welcomed back to Jerusalem after a personal exile. He had been in exile because he had slain Amnon. Amnon had forced himself upon Absalom's sister Tamar. 2 years later, Absalom arranged to have Amnon murdered. He then fled, and David mourned greatly for his son. We read this in 2 Samuel 13. In time, arrangements are made for Absalom to return to Jerusalem with the king's approval. And then by fair speeches and by many courtesies, Absalom won the hearts of the people away from David. A conspiracy against his own father, David, develops, and David is forced to leave as Absalom takes control. In exile, David rallies his men in an effort to regain control of the government. This means war between the forces of David and the forces of Absalom. It means one will be the victor, the other will be the loser. In time, a decisive battle must be fought that will determine whether David or Absalom will be the winner. In those times, news from a battlefield must be delivered by a messenger. When the messenger arrives following a fatal clash between the armies of David and Absalom, the messenger announces victory for David. His men have prevailed. No doubt there were losses of men in both sides, but these are not mentioned. David's fatherly concern overshadows these matters, and he asks this question: is the young man safe? Is the young man Absalom safe? He then learns that his beloved son has lost his life in the conflict. David had been challenged. He had been driven from Jerusalem by his own son. He had to gather his men and send them into battle to regain what he had lost. And when he regained the kingdom, he did not think first of his men and of the sacrifices they had made. He did not take time to commend the soldiers for their bravery. He simply asked, "Is the young man safe?" And now his personal loss is so overwhelming that he has to be rebuked by his general Joab, who says, "Absalom was your enemy, in essence. Absalom is the one who took the throne from you." But it's the parental grief. "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, oh to God that I had died. Absalom, my son, my son." We read in 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. So this is parental grief. A son is gone, and there's deep sorrow and anguish. There are thoughts of the past, of a happier time, and then there's the loss. He must deal with his loss by coming to accept what has happened. And even in recovery, there may be moments of sadness when his thoughts turn back to his son. Now, it's expected that parents will grieve over the loss of a child. There's a complication in David's case, for he's also a public figure. There's his influence to take into consideration. While he attempted to withdraw from public view during this difficult time, word spread of his grief. It had an adverse effect upon the people. What would normally have been a time of national celebration because of the victory became a time of confusion. The battle had been won, but the king's reaction had been anything but joyful. The scriptures tell of the effect his conduct had on the people. In 2 Samuel 19, verse 2 and 3, "The people got them by stealth that day into the city, people being ashamed to steal away when they flew in the battle. Someone had to do something. And Joab, the commander of the forces, went to the king and pointed out the effect this was having upon the nation. He encouraged him to rise and to speak comfortably to the people." And that's exactly what David did. Well, there's a lesson here for us anytime we must grieve. We may feel terrible. We may want to withdraw, to be alone with our own thoughts. But this may have such an adverse effect on others of our family and friends, and we may need to do as David did, to arise and speak comfortably to our loved ones to encourage them. The Bible does not follow up on the emotional adjustment of David, nor upon how long it may have taken for him to adjust. We're not told that he ever reached the point when he can be said to have totally recovered. Of course, he recovered, but he would never be able to free himself completely from the memory. This memory could mean sad moments in later years. In spite of sad memories, it's possible for David to become a stronger man in later years. His faith and his hope may have motivated him to greater effort as time passed by. And then another case of grief in the Bible is that of Job. His losses were so great, his grief so overwhelming, no study of this subject should be made without noting his experience. He lost friends, he lost family members, and some of his servants were taken by Sabaeans. He lost his oxen, his sheep, his camels, the wealth of his day. He lost 7 sons when a whirlwind caused a house to collapse. And finally, he lost his health. He was afflicted with boils that covered him from head to foot. He experienced an unparalleled series of tragedies, and these were so overwhelming, even his wife advised him to give up, to renounce his faith, and simply die. But Job's response, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Job 2, verse 10. Of course, Job was affected by his losses. He was able to keep a larger issues in perspective. He was not about to give up his faith in God because of the tragedies that had come to him. Now, in his grief, he sat down in ashes. Friends came to comfort him, and his appearance had changed so dramatically that at first they did not recognize him. For 7 days, they simply sat with him. Nothing was said. Out of their respect for Job, they waited for him to speak first. They saw, as Job 2, verse 13 says, that his grief was great. When he spoke, he said, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balance together." Job 6, 2. Oppression, suffocating grief, overwhelming losses. How is it possible for him to survive? But Job does survive. He might have considered blaming himself for his calamities. Perhaps he deserved what he got. Maybe God was punishing him for some past failure. If he ever considered this, it isn't mentioned, for later he defended his integrity when his friends began to try to build a case against him based upon their line of reasoning. He might have thought of blaming his children for not taking greater precaution against a high wind that could bring the house down upon them. He might have blamed his servants or his enemies, but there is nothing in the record that says such. And interesting enough, he doesn't ever blame God. The reason for the tragedy was unknown to him. He felt he was not being punished because of any personal wrongdoing. So he must think about his losses, strive to adjust, to make the most of what remained of the time he had left. And Job maintained his integrity with God. And when you get to Job 42, the last chapter, although Job didn't realize the contest that was going on between God and Satan, Job is victorious and God blesses him again and with more than he ever had in the first place. So grief comes for many reasons in life. Grief comes because of losses. And it's up to us as to how we will deal with those griefs. As we suggested yesterday from Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him so that He might direct our paths. Are you allowing the Lord to direct your path? Are you an obedient child of His? Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.